welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll get the latest information on the Minnesota Military Museum, get an update on women veterans programs, and check in with the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Dating back to the American Revolutionary War, women have served valiantly in our country's conflicts. The legend of Molly Pitcher told us the story of a brave woman who took the fight to our enemy in our battle for independence. As the story goes, Molly took charge of a cannon in the midst of a battle in New Jersey and gave the Redcoats hell. As time moved on and in the face of resistance, women in our military continued to lend their force to our fight. In doing so, they broke through barriers built by those who clung to outdated ideals and wrong-headed prejudices. Despite this uphill battle against gender discrimination, women have made important impacts to our every battle. From our junior ranks to our most senior commanders, women perform many vital roles and contribute every day to the success of our team. The women who serve in your Minnesota National Guard are just as tough, just as smart, and just as capable of leading our soldiers and airmen as any man. I'm proud to have them on our team.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said in the opening, we're going to talk today about the Minnesota Military Museum and also the Vietnam War Roundtable. And we have two special guests in the studio. Retired Brevet Lieutenant General Rick Nash serves as a board member of the Minnesota Military Museum at Camp Ripley. He previously served as Minnesota's Adjutant General, leading more than 13,000 airmen, soldiers, and civilians of the Minnesota National Guard. General, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you, Thomas. It's great to be back in studio with you and with Randall to talk about two very important subjects today that I think most of your listeners will pay attention to and probably rally behind.
Well, it's good to have you back, sir. And our second guest, as you mentioned, is Randall Dietrich, who has served as Executive Director of the Minnesota Military Museum and Library located at Camp Ripley for the last 3 years. And as Museum Director in 2018, he launched the ongoing Vietnam War Roundtable, which we're going to talk about in the next segment. General, it's been a while since we've seen you. You got off of you finished your term as Adjutant General, and I think you went fishing.
I went fishing, Tom, for a little while, and then did a few hunting trips to New Mexico and Wyoming and Alabama. Ended up spending a little bit of time on a few boards, as you mentioned, with the Minnesota Military Museum at Camp Ripley, specifically working on the General Jack Vesey Jr. Collection that his family donated to the museum, that we're sorting through his artifacts, his documents, his papers, and getting them online, as well as organizing some of it to be put into the new division headquarters in Arden Hills, which will open up in October. So Randall and I and some of the archivists at Ripley are working on that collection to display some of his items at the new headquarters. And so that's been challenging and exciting, and we're looking forward to that opening. Also spending some time with the Minnesota Historical Society, working on one of their task force and on their executive council for possible renaming of the Fort Snelling area around the diamond itself, spending time traveling the state, 7 different public hearings we've had, as well as meeting with the UVLC and the Commander's Task Force, and as well as the Japanese American Citizens League about their interests in the Fort Snelling property itself. Because a couple years ago, we went to the legislature and testified a number of times for bonding money for a new visitor center, which will be starting this year. And so that's been pretty much keeping me occupied, as well as the grandchildren and spending more time with my wife.
Sir, it sounds like you took a little time off, but then you got back to work, and we're not surprised. Randall, you've got a great board for the Minnesota Military Museum, and of course, the former Adjutant General. You can't ask for better, can you?
We're very fortunate to have him on our team.
And Randall, I understand that there's some changes coming for the Minnesota Military Museum and Library. The general was telling me a while back that you came into a situation where a piece of land came available, and you've kind of outgrown your space inside of or on Camp Ripley.
Yeah, the existing museum on post at Camp Ripley, the Minnesota Military Museum, has been there for 40 years. And at this point, we've outgrown the space we have. There's 80,000 artifacts we have in our collection that aren't seen by the public. We want public the people of Minnesota to see these stories of Minnesota veterans, we have nowhere to display them, and we need to find a new home. That case is made more compelling recently with the FAA coming in and telling us that given the location of our museum, and we moved into a battalion headquarters that is 90 years old, and that building and our 5-acre campus is across the street from a very active airfield at Camp Ripley. And we're in the flight path of C-130s, and those land incredibly close to us, which is fascinating from the visitor experience, but long-term, probably a good idea to get out of that zone of where planes are landing. So we did just recently come across 32 acres of land just outside the walls of Camp Ripley, immediately off of Highway 371, 32 acres of property, which would be prime real estate to build a new 42,000 square foot Minnesota Military Museum and Library dedicated to the veterans of Minnesota.
We're speaking with Randall Dietrich and retired Lieutenant General Rick Nash on Minnesota Military Radio. General Nash, when I ran into you in December and we were talking about this, you were pretty fired up about the opportunity to get the Minnesota Military Museum off of Camp Ripley, out into a location where it's not under Miller Field and all those flights coming in, and maybe put it in a position where it's easier for a general public, all Minnesotans, to stop in and see the history of the military in Minnesota.
You're right, Tom. That museum has been there, I believe, since 1976 when it was chartered. So it's, I was in service 4 years prior to that. So it's been there quite a long period of time. And I continually have veterans come up to me and ask if they could get on Camp Ripley to go to the museum, because it's within the walled confines of Camp Ripley, going through security. If they're going to go in and get IDs updated or changed or family members added, they are somewhat intimidated by that. And so this location that Randall was able to secure from one of the local landowners has tremendous visibility right along Highway 371 for all the travelers and tourists going north or coming back south. We'll have an opportunity to see that museum. And the added benefit to this location is right across the road, the old 371, from the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery. So it's an ideal location. And the visibility is tremendous. The land will allow us to expand and have more artifacts out on display that will include all branches of service. And so I think that's another important facet of this project.
So, Randall, you've got the land now and you've got all the artifacts. What's it going to take to build it out so that you can move out there and make it more accessible and bigger and better than ever?
Broad statewide support. And that begins at the state legislature. And we've received some good support currently. As your listeners know, it's a bonding year at the state legislature. There's a House file and a Senate file attached to this request. It's a $13 million request for listeners, because details matter. It's House File 2025 and Senate File 2351, and we're encouraging folks to contact their local representatives, their state senators and representatives, and let them know they should support, again, House File 2025 and Senate File 2351, and that's where it starts. So there's a bonding bill, and we hope to be part of that to help fund construction of this new location.
In general, up at the state legislature, items for military and like the military museum are usually pretty well accepted. How's it going up there? I know you've talked to a lot of our elected officials.
You're right, Tom. Last week I was up there with the History Day at the Capitol, and a number of individuals were there in the morning to go out and talk to all of their legislatures about what history matters to them, their personal aspect of it. And certainly a large portion of Minnesota and its veterans talk about military history. And so I spent time going to speak to different Senate and House members regarding the museum itself, and I had nothing but support from both sides of the aisle and from both the House and the Senate.
Very good, Sir Randall.
Yeah, and again, pulling all that together, I mean, one of the things I hope we can accomplish is, again, telling all those stories. So we do really tell every branch of service in Minnesota history and what those experiences were, and then stretch those stories across all 87 counties of Minnesota. So we've been gathering statements of support from folks. One of those statements, pulling a quote from there, was, you know, a museum big enough to tell their larger than life story is what we're going for. So we want to tell all branches of service and really tell the statewide story since statehood.
So for our listeners, if you haven't seen the existing Minnesota Military Museum, stop at Camp Ripley on your way up north fishing this year. Stop in there. Maybe it's a rainy day. Go see the Military Museum and imagine what it could be like if it was much, much bigger. And then call your state elected officials and tell them that you want them to vote in favor of House File 2025 and Senate File 2351 so that we can get the Minnesota Military Museum bigger and better than ever, so you and future generations can learn about all the Minnesotans who have served in the military here in Minnesota. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to retired Lieutenant General Rick Nash and Randall Dietrich about the Vietnam War Roundtable. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with retired Brevet Lieutenant General Rick Nash and Randall Dietrich, and we spent the first segment talking about the Minnesota Military Museum. And Randall, I just want to sum this up. It's been on Camp Ripley since about 1976. It's overgrown its space. You've got all kinds of exhibits that you don't have room to display, and you're kind of in the way of Miller Field. And so an opportunity presented itself. You got a nice piece of land outside the gates of Camp Ripley out by the cemetery, and you've got a bill pending in front of the legislature to get some money so that you can build.
Absolutely. And the more state support we get, the better the museum will be. And beyond the support at the state legislature, you know, we'll be calling upon veterans and veteran families to support the museum moving forward. It's going to be a big operation, and we have a lot of work to do. So state legislative support is critical, but also support from Minnesotans all across the state. There'll be a time and place for that as well, because really this is meant to be the place where Minnesota veteran stories are shared with future generations.
And how much is the request in front of the state legislature?
Yeah, it's $13 million to build a 42,000 square foot facility to hold all of our exhibits, educational classrooms, as well as all of our collections and archives.
And the brochure is beautiful. Looks like it's going to be a great facility. So for all our listeners, get a hold of your state elected officials over at the legislature and ask them to vote for House File 2025 and Senate File 2351. And General, we also wanted to talk about a series that's out there. There used to be a World War II roundtable out there, but a lot of our World War II guys are gone now. And there's a new one called the Vietnam War Roundtable. Can you tell me what that is, sir?
Well, Tom, first of all, the World War II Roundtable is still going strong. It's moved from the old Visitor Center at Fort Snelling now to the Minnesota Historical Society's site in St. Paul and in the auditorium within the confines of that. So Don Patton, retired Colonel Don Patton, still runs that Harold Deutsch program. I think they're in their 33rd or 34th year right now, and I happen to be just asked to sit on that board also, so I'm involved with that. But to your question, with the initiative that Randall and the Minnesota Military Museum Board of Directors started last year, a Vietnam roundtable, and Concordia, through the efforts of Dr. Tom Saylor and Randall Dietrich, allowed us to go to Concordia University in St. Paul for this program that started two years ago in September. This is the second year. And so it's been building audiences ever since, and the topics are relevant to those Vietnam veterans, the men and women who served during that long conflict. So for the details, I'd like to turn it over to Randall to expound upon that and the types of subjects that we've covered.
Go ahead, Randall.
Thank you. And, it does speak to the museum's interest to be a statewide museum. So we talked about our Little Falls headquarters, our museum there, but our reach is statewide. We share educational materials with schools all across the state, and this Vietnam War Roundtable is something we do on a monthly basis, the third Monday of the month, September through May, at Concordia University in St. Paul, just off of Interstate 94 and Hamlin Avenue. And the program is free, and there are different topics assigned each month. We have tremendous panelists that share firsthand experiences about their Vietnam time. And more information on all of these programs are available at mnvietnam.org.
mnvietnam.org.
Yes, sir.
And so there's a schedule up there that shows what's coming up?
Indeed. And there's a program coming up Monday evening, a tremendous one about the fall of Saigon. And I'll just preface for a moment, because the listeners now know that the time we live in with the coronavirus and certain things being scaled back. So even as of today's taping, we are talking to Concordia University and ask people to come out and join us. But before you leave the home to join us, maybe check our website, mnvietnam.org, or give a call to our museum at 320 616-6050 to confirm that that meeting time or location hasn't been postponed, because that's a possibility, certainly. But beyond that, every third Monday, this coming Monday, Fall of Saigon, we have four or five outstanding speakers that we're going to hear from at some point, if not Monday, very soon. But again, this is the chance to come together, share experiences, hear from people that have tremendous stories to tell, and gather in a group and share stories, commiserate, understand, commune with people. This is something that we feel passionate about, that needed to be offered in an ongoing basis, year in and year out. So I look forward to coming back 30 years from now, like Don Patton can do, and say, this Vietnam World Roundtable has been going on for 30 years, because it's going to be an ongoing thing. We're not going to stop. And I trust that Jen will be here at my side when we do that. But it's meant to be something that people can count on. Third Monday, free, 7 o'clock, Concordia.
Generally, he'll be pushing us both in here in our wheelchairs, but we'll try to get here. We're talking to retired Brevet Lieutenant General Rick Nash and Randall Dietrich from the Minnesota Military Museum. In this segment, we're talking about the Vietnam War Roundtable. And Randall, you said the next one coming up is this Monday, 16th March, 7 p.m., the Fall of Saigon. I can remember it well. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I can't believe it's been 45 years.
And, you know, Tom, I need to interrupt you just for a second, and I know you've spoken and had on air a number of Vietnam veterans over the 10-plus years that you've been on the air, and I would encourage you and those Vietnam veterans to attend at least one of these at Concordia. I think you will find it enlightening. You will find your brothers and sisters there that you served with, and I think there's a lot of common ground, like you'll find that at the World War II roundtable. So I would encourage all Vietnam veterans throughout the years that have served to attend at least one of these at Concordia.
Sir, it might be painful, but we'll see if we can get some folks there. And then the following week, April 20th, the invasion of Cambodia, 50th anniversary, and 18 May at 7 p.m., 1970, Kent State and student strike, 50 years since that shooting. I can't believe all that time has passed. And you've done a number of these already. Can you share with us some of the topics?
Oh, sure. We've covered a lot of topics already. We had a tremendous POW program a couple of months ago that was terribly profound, and we try to record as many of these as possible for, you know, people to watch, you know, online. So we've had nurses had a tremendous program. The Legionnaire newspaper does a tremendous job, Tim at the Legionnaire, reporting on them. So recaps are typically in every issue of the Legionnaire newspaper as well. And we're, one, looking for programs for next year, topics. So Doug Becky and I are pulling those together. So if your listeners have suggestions on topics that they want to see covered, you know, we try to be responsive to that. So that's something to keep in mind. And I'd also just touch on, we're making an effort, especially in the St. Paul area. There's so many schools around there that we'd love Vietnam veterans to come and share time and space together, but we want young people to come to these as well, and the general public and civilians to see it. So veterans are welcome, but I hope students and everybody comes and learns more about Vietnam and the experience that many of you live through.
So for our listeners, there's more information at mnvietnam.org. And if you've got an idea for a topic and you can't find a quick way to send it, go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Send us a note. I'll get it over to Randall. Randall, I also saw you had some past ones on Navy destroyer operations and women nurses in Vietnam War. But there's one here I want to ask the general about, because we mentioned in the first segment he was great friends with General Vesey. And there was one that you did, the Minnesota connection to the Battle of Suitre. In general, I can remember we spent one afternoon, a really pleasant afternoon, right here, and General Vesey told us that story, and it raised the hair on my arms just listening to what happened.
Yeah, it was a great event that we had at the Vietnam Roundtable. Doug Becky spoke about some of that, and also Colonel John Morris is also doing a biography of General Vesey. But that night was dedicated to those that came as a response to the attack at Sui Tre, where that location was being overrun. And so that was pretty emotional.
I'll always remember him telling me when he pulled the howitzers down and shot today's equivalent of grape shot at him, just
beehive,
to stop it.
The beehive. And so these five or six Vietnam veterans were there, went into detail about how they came in response to that fire base almost being overrun.
And then, of course, General Vesey told us that after he served as chairman of the Joint Chiefs, President Reagan asked them to go back and track down our POWs, and his counterpart on the other side was the commander at that battle, and they had to make peace and start searching. He had quite a career and quite a life, sir.
He did, and hopefully you have that on your archives here at Minnesota Military Radio Hour. People can go back and listen.
We, as you recall, we videotaped that, and Sergeant Ben has that, and we posted it, and we played it at the day of his funeral, and it is in the archives. It was a wonderful afternoon, and he answered every question and just kept going and going. Randall, Vietnam War Roundtable, you want to sum that up for us one more time?
Sure. MNVietnam.org for our full schedule. Call ahead before leaving this Monday, the 16th. Just to make sure we're still gathering. And again, every third Monday, May through or September through May. And if you have topics, please let us know what we should be covering. And thanks also to Concordia, to TPT, to DAV. A number of groups are coming together more and more to support this ongoing effort. So as a community, this is an important process.
More information on that at mnvietnam.org. And don't forget to call your state elected officials and talk to them about House File 2025 and Senate File 2351 and encourage them to vote for that so we can get the funding for the Minnesota Military Museum to get out by the highway, be bigger, better, and a place you want to take your children and grandchildren to teach them about those who served in Minnesota. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Thomas. It's always great to be here. Need to put a shout out to K-Check Radio and Tom Getziger and the great job he does with the veterans in our listening area around New Prague. And he does a tremendous job carrying this program for the last, I guess, 8-9 years. And he's a huge fan of Minnesota Military Radio. And we get questions all the time after your program is done about those subjects that you cover.
And watch for the photo this week on Facebook. And Randall, thank you very much.
Yeah, and thanks to the other 57 stations out there that also carry this program.
Yes, sir. That was retired Lieutenant General Rick Nash and Randall Dietrich. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about women veterans programs here at Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk about women's veterans programs with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Over the last year, I have traveled many miles visiting the facilities and staff that make up the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. During these visits, I have met hundreds of our team members, and I am humbled by the work that they do every day. I have been pleased with the attitude and professionalism that I have witnessed at the veterans' homes and in the programs and services staff. I continue to get unsolicited positive feedback in regards to the way our staff engages with veterans and their families throughout Minnesota. I am so proud of the work that they do for our nation. Heroes. It is an extraordinary honor for me to represent the veterans here in Minnesota. I assure you that we are 100% dedicated to our mission of serving the Minnesota veterans and their families to ensure they get the care and benefits that they have earned.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, we're going to talk about women's veterans programs with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And joining us to do that now is Kimberly Dobler Johnson, who is the Women, Veteran, and Gold Star Family Coordinator. And Kimberly, you've changed your name since the last time I saw you, but you've also served about 19 years in the Minnesota Army National Guard.
That's correct. I recently got married in November in New Orleans.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And yes, I'm approaching my 20th year in the Minnesota Army National Guard in August, and I have happily elected to retire after that point.
A lot of weekends going to drills, and have you been deployed?
I have. I did one tour in Iraq in 08 and 09 with the aviation unit. We were doing medevac, and I was fortunate to be their human resource NCO, so I did majority of the paperwork of bringing people in and out of different theaters that they were in.
And how long have you been working with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
It's going on 3 years.
3 years, and you've been on the show 15 times already. No. It's just a couple of times, right?
I would say it's been a couple of times, but I would say the nerves do get the best of me sometimes, but it's always nice to see you.
Well, it's great to have you on the show, and it's good to be talking about women veterans programs, because we've been on the air for 10 years, and I just keep hearing every time that the more and more women are serving, more and more women are deploying. It's becoming a major part of the force when you talk about the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard, about the reserves or even active duty.
That is correct. So we do have the Center for Women Veterans that's stationed in D.C., and right now they have as minorities as a period that women veterans is growing substantially over the years of those who are serving or have elected to retire. Even in Minnesota, we right now have a little over 24,000 female veterans that have either served actively or in the active in the Guard or Reserves component.
We're speaking with Kimberly Johnson from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Kim, I don't know if you and I have talked about this, but I've got a lot of friends, when they think about veteran, they think about guys. That's got to put the ladies off. I mean, there's so many women that have served now. We need to change our thinking. There's men and women who are veterans.
And that's across the board, not in Minnesota, but the world alone. I don't know how many times I've worn my veteran cap, my shirts, anything that does annotate that I'm a veteran. But the minute I go to an establishment, it is my significant other or a husband or someone else that gets that kudos for wearing the uniform. And I have to let them know right away that I'm actually the individual that served, not my husband.
So society automatically thinks the guys, but the society should change and think it's men and women, because women are serving in every position in the military these days.
That is very true. And thankfully, for the past 2 years, we had the I Am Not Invisible exhibit that has traveled all over the U.S. And thankfully, it was picked up nationally by the federal VA to show a different description of what a female veteran is.
That's good. It's about time we did that. Kim, one of the other things I've seen that I feel good about is the fact that the Minneapolis VA Medical Center has expanded the women's clinic, and they're building a new women's clinic, and it sounds like it's just going to be fabulous.
We have such advancements there from the new mammogram location that both men and women can utilize. But yes, the female's clinic is improving substantially and have received awards for doing so.
So, Kim, how difficult is it to reach out to our women veterans here in Minnesota and get them involved and show them what their benefits might be and help them?
It can be difficult at times, but when you say there's 24,000 female vets here, it can be difficult. We've spanned it all throughout the state. And when you're spending the majority of your career not being recognized, not being seen, you tend to stop wanting to be seen. So you just stay on the back line. But myself and the YMCA and other organizations are pushing forward with our annual Women Vet Conference to give out as much information so that other people, no matter the age, ethnicity, that you are seen and welcome to be able to get your benefits both federally and state.
So that annual conference is going to be April 4th. Where is it going to be?
It's going to be at the YMCA's Community Center in Moundsview.
And what's the mission? What are you trying to accomplish with this annual conference?
So every year we create a theme, and this year's history in the making in self-care. We are in a unique situation where we have 5 female generals in the state, 3 in uniform, 2 that are retired. So we will have a panel of those amazing women telling their story and how other individuals of the state can see how we have improved over the years.
Now, who do you want to attend this conference?
Everyone.
Does that mean all the women or men and women? Everyone.
Now, under the umbrella of the commissioner's policy on diversity and inclusion, I'm not going to say someone is not included. But I will say, if you have worn the uniform, if you want to get information, please show up. I'm never turning anyone away.
So if you're a woman veteran or currently serving as in the military, you're welcome to come to this conference. Where do they go to find more information?
Now, they can go to MinnesotaVeterans.org/womenveterans. There should be a link that brings you to the Eventbrite to register, and it is for free. Breakfast and lunch will be provided.
So is it an all-day affair?
It will be from 9 to 4, and we have had females stay afterwards to get continued socialization and networking, but the door is always open.
Stick around afterwards and talk to the Lady Generals.
Yeah, I'll be there.
And they are remarkable. So there's some great generals there. Now, are there breakout sessions? Are there choices on what they attend at the conference?
So the minute someone is able to attend, they're able to sign up for either Reiki, therapy, yoga, other essential oils, or holistic care to get knowledge on what they can do outside of focusing only on medication. But primarily, while the individuals are there, they're able to see the 39 other, we call stakeholders or organizations that are there to give out information to the females, veterans that are there.
So how many years now have you been doing this?
It's my third year.
Third year, and how many people came last year?
Last year, we had 265 attend, and we've already surpassed that right now. I have capped the registration at 400, and we're already at 300 attending. So it's going to be an amazing event. If anyone is concerned about any viruses or anything of the sort, we are all taking precaution to ensure everyone is both safe and secure while they are attending.
So you got another 100 spots to fill, and we want to fill them this weekend. Where can they go for more information again?
They can go to MinnesotaVeteran.org/womenveteran.
And one more time, the location, date?
It's going to be on April 4th from 9 to 4:30, and it will be held at the Mounds View YMCA Community Center.
And, of course, this is part of your mission as the Women Veterans Program Coordinator, and your mission there is to put on outreach events geared to improve the awareness of available benefits, services, and eligibility criteria for the women who served in the United States Armed Forces, and it's building and building each year, isn't it?
It is, every year.
You're smiling. I think you're looking forward to this event.
I'm always looking forward to it. It's always great to see the fruition of all the ideas that come forward, and then as the event is over, we go right back into planning 2021.
Well, Kimberly, I'm glad you're taking care of all of our women veterans, and we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about your other job as Gold Star Family Coordinator. We're talking to Kimberly Johnson from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Kimberly Johnson, who is the Women's Veteran and Gold Star Family Coordinator for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Kim, we talked about Women's Veterans Programs and an event, a conference coming up on April 4th, and information on that is at
MinnesotaVeterans.org/WomenVeterans.
Okay, so remember that. But now we want to talk about your role as Gold Star Family Coordinator. And for those of our listeners that may not know, what is a Gold Star Family?
So Minnesota's for NWA, we actually go underneath the federal statute when it comes to the definition for Gold Star Family. That is any family member immediately related to a fallen soldier who is on Title 10 orders or is active duty. Now, that doesn't mean that an individual who is in the Guard or Reserves who passes away by any means other than natural causes is not a Gold Star, but means that we go along with federal statute for that.
So as coordinator of the Gold Star Family Program, you're there to support the families of those service members who lost their lives in combat as they heal from their loss. And of course, there's been a lot of events over the 10 years we've been on the air, and we've met a lot of the Gold Star families. And I think it was revealing one weekend we spent some time with a number of those families, and they want to talk about their lost family member as if they're still here. They want to tell the story. I think a lot of our listeners, if they know that you're a Gold Star mom and you lost a son in the military, they're a little apprehensive about asking. But those families want to talk, don't they?
It can be emotional at times, but it's always great to lend an ear to an individual. It isn't patronizing. It isn't treating them differently. It's merely being there when they're ready to speak. And yes, there might be emotions to go along with it, but at the end of the day, you have now taken a little piece of that family member, which they always want someone to ensure that they are not forgotten.
And there's an annual ice cream social, I think, that's headed up by some Gold Star moms and some great ladies and raise some nice funds. And if you ever get a chance to go to those, we'll be talking about those coming up soon.
Yes, Scoops of Troops is definitely a fantastic organization. And Valerie does amazing things with the organization. This year, they are not doing their annual event at Arden Hills, but they do have on their website their shirts that are available for sale. So if anybody that orders a shirt, those proceeds are going right back to their organization.
Okay, and you've got a Gold Star family event coming up. Is it at the Minnesota Zoo?
It is. Annually, we normally do it at Valley Fair, but we wanted to shake things up and make sure there's actually variety within the organization. So this year, we are doing it at the Minnesota Zoo. Same concept that we normally do at the Valley Fair, but at the zoo, they're going to have a full day with lunch and ability to walk around the zoo free of charge.
And the Gold Star families seem to like to spend time with other Gold Star families because they've gone through the same experience. They understand each other and they really bond.
Just like for my Women Vet organizations, we all like to bond together because you get a little bit of energy. You get to recharge. The same thing goes inside for our Gold Star families. Being together, you're able to not only help heal one another, but in the same token, you're still able to know about their son, daughter, husband, wife, anyone that had wore that uniform. They just want to be heard.
So who all do you want to come out to the Minnesota Zoo on August 29th?
So it is going to be on August 29th. We work with the Army SOS to ensure the information is pushed out. And it's anyone who was annotated as a Gold Star can register to attend.
And once again, where can they find more information?
Well, it might seem obsolete that is underneath that, but you can still find it under the MinnesotaVeterans.org/WomenVeterans. Because I wear both hats, you can find the event there.
All right, Kim, we've got just a little under a minute. Tell me again about the annual conference for our women veterans.
So annually we do an event. It's going to be on April 4th from 9 to 4:30 at the YMCA Community Center in Moundsview.
Very good. And please, for all our women veterans out there, see if you can join Kim on April 4th because she wants to see every one of you. Kim, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you. I hope to come again.
You're welcome back anytime. That was Kimberly Johnson, who runs the Women, Veterans, and Gold Star Family Programs for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Joining me now is Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Nice to be back with you.
Sure, we've got a bunch of things coming up. And one of the things in March is Women's History Month.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff planned here for our women veterans. You know, so this is a couple things going on, Tom. You know, one is it's really just celebrating our women veterans, and 10% of our VA patients across the VA are women veterans, and of course that's growing. But it's also really an opportunity for us to redouble our efforts and make sure that women veterans feel comfortable here, that we're facilitating their care, that they feel safe. And as I think I mentioned on the show before, you know, we are building, we haven't broken ground yet, but we're getting close to building a new women's health center on our campus, which will, again, I think it's really intended to make women veterans feel comfortable getting their health care here and providing a sort of a full range of women's health services.
Director, you better keep that hard hat. You've had a project going, I think, every year that we've been talking. And in addition to the women's clinic, I understand there's some road construction going to happen out near you.
You know, it's going to impact a lot of people this summer, you know, starting really in April and lasting about until October. And it's having to do with, Highway 5, which is a lot of the transport between Minneapolis and St. Paul in our area is coming across Highway 5 and you know, the crosstown and 55. And so, starting in about April, you know, there's going to be road closures on 5. And so that's going to mean alternate routes. And, you know, we're thinking about, delayed patients being late for appointments and having a more difficult time getting here. It's going to impact the airport. It's going to impact cemeteries. And so what I would advise your listeners, Tom, is, you know, the Minnesota Department of Transportation has a lot of information on their website. But April through October, going to be needing to look for some rerouting, and again, it's something we can handle, but it's it's summer in Minnesota, and there's going to be construction, and it's going to impact us a little bit this summer.
So for our veterans and your patients, leave early for your appointments. Get out there on time so that you can take care of them.
That's
Director, the big thing in the news lately is this coronavirus, and I know it's impacted you quite a bit, and one of the things is you're not going to have an event on Vietnam Veterans Day, March 30th.
Yeah, sadly, you know, we have really canceled or delayed many of our group events, and, you know, sadly, like I said, March 30th, we had a big event planned here for our veterans, lots of vendors coming in, information tables, My Life, My Story, you know, women's health displays and that kind of thing, but I think most veterans will understand, and we have had to delay, like I say, that event and really other group events because it is just not the time to be getting together in large groups. You know, that's part of the social distancing that people are hearing about, and so we're doing our part to make sure that, you know, we are attempting to schedule appointments, get veterans seen, as much as we can do remotely or via telehealth or via our call center. You know, we're really encouraging veterans that, you know, if they're sick and they need to be seen, get into the medical center, you know, get seen. But when they call for an appointment now, we're going to be asking some questions related to some of their symptoms and maybe some of their travel, whether they've been exposed to anybody with known coronavirus, and then making some judgments about the best way for them to get their health care.
So if they think they've got it, they should call ahead and warn you, and you'll tell them what to do and how to do it.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it, Tom. And we're actively screening patients outside of our building before they get in here. It has not resulted in delays. It's going well, but again, it's just everybody should think about whether it's at home or whether you're going to the hospital. You know, think about your own personal preparation. You know, and you've all heard about the hand washing and the making sure that you know, you're distancing, you know, where possible, and blowing, you know, if you sneeze, blow into your sleeve. And so all good personal protective measures, but again, we're doing some things here at the hospital, all hospitals are, to make sure that veterans and staff are safe, visitors are safe. So there's going to be some changes, but when people come to the medical center, but come a little bit early, but we're not thinking about big delays, but there may be some delays built into that.
Well, Director, I hope all your patients are well out there and that all your staff get through this virus. And I don't know what you think. I'm hoping within 30 days things will settle down.
That would be great, Tom. You know, this is just largely unpredictable. If there's some good news, you know, in China, it seems to have turned around somewhat. And so that took a few months, but at least there seemed to be an end in sight in China. And so there seems to be a cycle with this, but it's not a short one. And so I think, you know, we're preparing to for this to last a little while, but we're hoping to minimize the impact by those things that I talked about.
Well, thank you, Director. Be well and be safe. Thanks for joining us. That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, retired Brevet Lieutenant General Rick Nash, Randall Dietrich, Kimberly Johnson, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about the All of Us Research Project and check in with the Department of Minnesota VFW. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.